Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, 603-283-6160. We've talked about a lot of different subjects tonight, so obviously you can bring up whatever is on your mind, and there's no taboo topics here. It's Free Talk Live. And I'd like to thank Dodger, who's a gold-level amplifier with us here at Free Talk Live. An amplifier is somebody who amplifies, markets, promotes, and supports the show. And if you'd like to donate and get the perks that go along with donating and help out the show here, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you so much, Dodger. And I'm just going to go, well, Joe, did you have more you wanted to say about that law?
I think it's just a way to get the judge to basically dismiss your case. It's not really, I like to read more into it, but from what I could see so far, but I like to know more. Bring up, if you call in again about that merchant law, try to bring up what it's really all about. Get into like the nitty gritty, maybe a little bit synopsis of it for radio, you know. But
well, we have somebody else calling about laws, so Footloose, you're on Free Talk Live. You want to talk about natural laws?
Hey, what's going on, Bonnie?
What's going on?
Hey, Joa. And who else is in the studio?
Jay Noon.
Oh, Jay, what's up, buddy?
I was talking about you today.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. I heard my ears ringing.
I was thinking about, we were thinking about putting you as a witness in Shallon's case, seeing how you're someone who's been targeted by the same people she's been targeted by for essentially being into the freedom movement.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Hit me up offline and we'll talk about it for sure. So I did call in to talk about natural rights, of course, and I'm going to keep it broad and then I'll try to get a little bit more detailed on it. But you guys will pick up what I'm throwing down right off the rip. Am I wrong to say that natural rights are endowed to every individual upon their birth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So the question I have is, does a state have any rights?
No.
No. They have privileges and immunities and powers derived from the people.
Correct. So, and I would agree. So,
but hold on. What's your definition of state? Because, like I have stated, you know, the state is defined by New Hampshire as state, United States, District of Columbia, territories, and jurisdictions. That's
so
all they define state as.
I would define, my definition of state is basically a government, any government who tries to claim certain borders and things of that nature, right? So this would be across the globe. And does a state have a right? If it doesn't have any rights, it can't have a right to self-defense, correct?
Right.
So, and my reasoning for coming up with that is a state has no self to defend.
I agree.
The state is an amalgamation of people, and you can never kill a state, right?
Right.
So there's a state cannot defend itself because it can't be killed. It's just an idea.
Because it's not even alive to begin with.
Exactly. And so what the point of this is, because people keep bringing up that a certain state has a right to self-defense, So if one state has a right to self-defense, then so does another. And we are in this vicious cycle of circular reasoning with the Israel-Palestine question.
Yeah.
And it's like people are telling me Palestine didn't exist. Palestine never existed. It was never a thing. And it was a region. It was known as the region of Palestine. And we know this. And we know the Zionists know it because the Zionists chose Palestine to form their state. Right?
They chose it because it wasn't a state yet?
What is it?
Are you saying they chose it because it wasn't like an official state like we think
of? That's what they're trying to claim. They're trying to say, oh, it was just a region. It was just a region. But it was a region with all kinds of people living in harmony.
There's, yeah, different religions all living in harmony even.
Correct. So they're not all Muslims. I know a bunch of Palestinians. There are Christian. There are secular. And the same with Israelis, because Israelis aren't Jews. Jews are people who practice a certain religion.
Right.
Israelis are Zionists.
Exactly that. So there are Christian Zionists. There are Muslim Zionists. Trump is a Zionist. A lot of these people are Zionists. Sununu is a Zionist, for sure. He did that anti-BDS executive order, saying that the executive council is not allowed to do business with any business or person who speaks out about.
It stands for boycott.
Yes. Boycott, divest.
Divest. There we go. And something else. And they're saying that people who are speaking out and saying that they just don't want their supporters, to boycott companies that work with Israel or whatever, or that come from Israel. They're using the state to say that other parts of the government can't do business with them. And that just sounds crazy to me because it's those people's free speech and free association
Correct.
Rights.
Texas does the same yep. thing. A whole bunch of states yep. do the same thing.
A lot of states do it, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, Sununu is up to his tyranny again, and he did that little executive order a few months ago. And I did, if anyone is on Facebook, follow the BDS New Hampshire. Sununu follows it, just so you know. The BDS New Hampshire Facebook page is my page. And, yeah, so I followed Sununu with it, and he does follow our page. And I put some good links up there about stuff like, you know, this is from myjewishlearning.com. What is a Jew? Is it a race? No, it's not. It's a religion. There's all different races of people who practice Judaism. Right?
It's always so confusing to me. Like, so many people from Eastern Europe who say that they're, like, Ashkenazi Jews, they're just people who their, like, ancestors from a long time back were, like, in my case, Ukrainians. And then they converted to Judaism. And then it's like my great-grandma stopped being a Jew, and then they were just a-religious for a while. How does that make me... like, I don't believe that makes me actually Jewish today. I used to think it did, because I was, like, confused. But now I don't think that makes me Jewish. It just means my great-grandparents and onward back used to be some sort of religion, and then my great-grandma stopped.
You're a Puritan, right? Because you're a descendant of Roger Williams? So you're Puritan.
Yeah, right. Like, no one would say that, because I am a descendant of Roger Williams. But most people would not say that, because, like, no, I'm not a Puritan, never went to a Puritan church, you know?
Right. I mean, back in the day, we were born into a strict culture and family. And, like, you were born into a Irish Catholic family. You were raised Irish Catholic. And that's why, like, my mom calls herself Irish Catholic, because she was raised that way. But she doesn't believe in any of that stuff. She's completely into all kinds of, like, New Age stuff. But she considers herself Irish Catholic. But I don't know. I think people just have things very confused, and a lot of it, if not most of it, is intentional, because they profit off of these wars and off of these bombs.
Oh,
and I don't know
sure.
if you guys heard about that. Elbit Systems is an Israeli company that's based out of Merrimack, New Hampshire, and they're making suicide killer drones they're suicide drones, and they're using them in the tunnels in, you know, Israel, Palestine, whatever you want to call it.
We need to go protest this place. So, where are they?
They already, so recently, some three women drove up from Mass like a couple weeks ago and attacked. They spray painted it and lit it on fire and all kinds of stuff.
Mom.
Seriously. Yeah, Google that. So that's this Elbit Systems that I was already onto it before. I've been talking about it for months. It's funny. People met, they were like, is this that place you were talking about? That's how I heard about it.
Were they located? So you mean
Merrimack.
Merrimack, New Hampshire. So three women, like, that's really stupid. Like, you're going to go to one of these military defense contractors who's going to have every, like, angle, every square inch of all around that place just covered in surveillance. And
it looks like they let it happen, Jay, because they were on the roof and they were, you know, if you read the article, it's like, it seemed like they were all over the building and they would allow that and probably pay to have it happen. Just so they could put it in the news and be like, look at us, we're being attacked. This victimhood stuff is...
And it's a hate crime.
It's just too much. You know, when they're the ones victimizing everyone else.
Oh, they did a great job, those protesters. They put paint on the sign, and they got on the roof, and they had a flare. That was impressive.
Well, it sounds like what he's saying is true, then, that they let it happen, because how do you let a couple women go do that?
Right.
You should have, like, security.
That's crazy. So, another false flag. And, you know, this, another a friend of mine, he told me, this Israel-Palestine thing, it's like the Wizard of Oz in the Man Behind the Curtain. It's the last layer of deception when it comes to the media and all this stuff that we're dealing with that, right? Because the Zionists do control the media. It's not Jews. It's Zionists. Let's keep it straight because it's Christian. There's Christians. Not all of them are even practicing any belief system. It's the globalists. The globalists and these Zionists are the Satanists. Zionism is Satanism. They invert the truth. They'll pose as any religion or thing or type of person or group just to do the opposite. You know, like, let's say they're a child molester. They do something like start teaching martial arts so they can get around kids all the time. Zionists right there for you. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So there are Zionists in the libertarian movement as well.
Well,
we do need to be careful of that.
Also, you know, so I've been, you know, doing a heavy deep dive into New Hampshire DCYF. So DCYF is seriously ripe for the predatory class, especially child molesters, because what happens is...
Well, I'd like to say, I said Satanist, but I usually don't use that term because there is a group that calls them Satanist that's not what Frank is talking about. I call them occultists. Like, they have occulted knowledge that they purposely don't let the average person know about, and then they go and use it to control the world. But those people obviously exist, and I believe that. And DCYF is going to have to be a part of that.
Yeah, and so if you look at,
for
like...
For sure. Like, the YDC case.
Right, yeah, the YDC case. You interviewed that guy. Like, the what was that fella's name that you had on
the
your...
The cops were in on it. The counselors were in. Everybody, they're all in on it, covering it all up for years and taking advantage of people. And then used grooming these boys and girls to be badass gangsters and killers.
Yeah, so can you quickly pitch how someone can find that interview you did with that guy real quick, Footloose?
It's on Absolute Defiance. It says, I think the title is Sadism, Rape, Sadism, and Torture in New Hampshire. It's the Adam Cardano interview. I was asked, somebody reached out to me and asked me to do the interview with him and to just get some exposure on it. And so, yeah, I did that, and it's a lot. It's gotten some good views. People, it does need to be seen more and shared more. And when you hear his story, it's just absolutely mind blowing. And I've got emails because I also got the YDC. We've been doing rallies for that and everything. I've got and spoken to some people and have emails of some of the stuff that happened, and they were tying these boys down and having them sodomized by dogs, okay?
In New Hampshire?
In the 80s. And they were videotaped, yes. And so it's not just YDC. This is the other thing with that case. It's there's 15 other contracting agencies that are implicated in the whole lawsuit with victims. And so there's all these juvenile facilities and camps and things that they were sending kids to. And some of these places I was at, you know, I was at a lot of these places, but NFI North Country, Eckert, Eckert Academy, they call it, where they send boys out in the woods and you got to live, you got to like make your own shelter, and they live in these little log cabin type things.
They also, they sent a lot of the kids that were staying at the Sununu Youth Detention Center recently, they sent them to a place in Tennessee, which is like...
Yep, they do that too. I was actually shipped to Pennsylvania, a place called George Junior Republic. I did 9 months as a juvenile in George Junior Republic. That place was scary. It was 95% inner city black gang members. There's a couple different George Junior facilities. The basketball team was sponsored by Nike. They were nasty, but was in Amish country. Anyway, yeah, I was there for 9 months, and it was, like, crazy. I won't even get into all that, but it was crazy.
But anyways, I just want to give a couple examples of why working for the state is the most protective and ideal place for someone who is a predator of any kind.
Especially
a sexual predator. Here's the thing.
Don't give me any ideas, Jay.
With DCYF,
they make the file. They make the file on the kids, and they say, "Oh, the kid's liar. It's uncredible." So we had a whistleblower come forward who told us how they do how they did this for so many years, because they train these ombudsman people who go through all the complaints from the kids. They say if there's anything flagged in their file that says trauma history or uncredible, you ignore it and you don't even look into it.
And the files are sealed.
If you're flagged as that, you're done.
So
they can do whatever they want, and they know how it works because they created the system for this purpose.
Yeah, so all the files are sealed, so it's almost impossible. So I don't know if you're aware right now, but I've actually sent affidavits to Leah Cushman, and several other people have too, to investigate DCYF. In fact, I'm going to be calling on a legislative committee to also investigate Merrimack County Prosecutor's Office, investigate the Superior Court, the District Court.
How about a federal investigation? Because the state can't investigate itself, and that's what we're asking for.
Okay.
We can expand it to, instead of just the YDC case, to all of DCYF and to the foster care, everything.
So the investigation...
And we can deliver a new demand...
The investigation I'm calling for is the people's representatives to investigate. New Hampshire has the best representatives, I believe, in the state. We have a bunch of freedom-minded representatives. So like, for example, Leah Cushman is on the a Health and Human Services Committee.
Yeah, Leah's awesome.
She's a mom.
She's a go-getter. She's a monster.
She's a mom. She's she's has good family values. She's like really wants to do a lot of the right things, and she understands these problems, and she also has the gonads to do this, after these guys.
A few more, Gerhard.
Yep. Gerhard.
Yeah,
I've been talking to Kelly Potenza, and so what we need, what I was talking to her about is what you're saying, a state board. As well as this federal investigation would be separate, but it would, you know, we would need a board, but it can't be controlled by their minions.
Right.
You have to also have people like you and maybe me on the board to keep an eye on this review.
Right. So there are working on a committee to investigate DCYF. And actually, what we need is some more affidavits. If anybody hears my voice right now that has had a bad run-in, that has been lied to, that has been treated poorly, that has, you know, that had a a difficult time with DCYF. They have been wronged. Please contact me at jay@jaynoone.com. That's J-A-Y at J-A-Y-N-O-O-N-E.com. Send me an email there, and I will help you get an affidavit to the correct representatives. So your case, too, can be part of this investigation. The problem with DCYF is everything's sealed, as you know. These all their employees, none of them have an oath of office. They all enjoy qualified immunity. And what they do is when they finally get caught doing something wrong, they give these people such large, crazy settlements and ask them to sign a non-disclosure. So the hundreds of millions of dollars that's already been paid out by the New Hampshire Division of Risk and Benefit to these families and these children who have been, you know, very much damaged by DCYF, those people aren't allowed to talk about it. They sign a non-disclosure. Right.
Speak out.
So
risk it. Speak out.
So the thing is.
So part of the problem, like I have access. I've done other interviews and whatnot, and people. Part of it is that with the active case going, there's a criminal case and there's the civil case, and you know there's already affidavits. They've already given affidavits, but they're sealed, like you said. Unfortunately, for. Because they were juveniles when it all happened and everything. So that's a difficult piece to get around.
Well, it's actually not. So, like, for example, the affidavit that I presented to Leah Cushman, you know, explains that, you know, social workers that work for DCYF, they lie. They commit perjury. Family court is not an actual court of record. They take people's children without due process of law, without trial by jury, by judgment of peers.
People got to just go in and start recording. I've been trying to tell people you've got to go in and record and make them arrest you, because if you're representing yourself, and then you're reporting.
So you haven't been in family court. So
I know, but it needs to happen there.
Well, but the problem is they have family court hearings against people. Like, for example, in my case, they had family court got a contempt order against me and my wife because we said, no, we're not going to let DCYF inspect our house and interview our daughter, but we'll let the local police do it. And the local police reported to DCYF social workers, hey, there's no neglect or abuse here.
Yeah.
You know, everything's good. And so they got a contempt order. After the police told them that, they got a contempt order, all ex parte. We had no idea these hearings were going on. And in fact, their contempt order is a bunch of garbage in family court. It got vacated because our local police department in Henniker actually did a motion to vacate, you know, all the proceedings within a family court because of lies. And because the local police determined that there was no abuse or neglect. But this is what happens when you have agencies that are on witch hunts, because I'm against them. We want to shut this government down. We want to shut these networks down and get it all abolished. Abolish DCYF.
603-283-6160. Thank you for the call, Footloose. 603-283-6160 is the number you can call to get in on a conversation with us in this last segment. More coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. You should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Secretary of State Antony Blinken emphasized that when Israel resumes military operations against Hamas, it needs to present a plan aimed at enhancing the protection of Palestinian civilians.
I made clear that before Israel resumes major military operations, it must put in place humanitarian civilian protection plans,
that minimize further casualties of innocent Palestinians.
House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries criticizing Republicans for their impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Jeffries asserted to reporters earlier today that there's no evidence of any wrongdoing by the president in relation to his family business dealings.
President Biden is a good and decent and hardworking man, and that's been his entire life.
Beetlejuice 2 has wrapped up production as announced by director Tim Burton. Warner Brothers is eyeing a release date of September 6, 2024. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Joa.
And we have been talking all night about different things that a lot of people would call conspiracy theories. So I just thought that was kind of funny.
Conspiracy facts.
Yes, but conspiracy proven facts at this point. Not everything that we've been talking about, but one day it probably will be, when all truth is revealed. 603-283-6160. We are going to get into this article that Jay has, but first I'm just going to let David tell us what trolling thing he has to say. David in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live.
Trolling? What are you talking about?
You like to troll.
Oh, yeah, actually I do. They're not trolling tonight.
Okay.
Unless I think of something.
Bonnie, you did say at the beginning of the show, and it's the show that you can troll.
That's what
that's right.
David started
that's
saying.
Every time. It's the show that you control. So I do. I mean, you invite, so I accept. You blew my serious train of thought. Where was I want to ask Jay horse questions.
Go for
I
it.
I want to ask Jay horse questions. But I do want to volunteer. It's been on the list for like literally like a year. I watched one of Jay's videos that you posted where the whatever you call them, DCYF or whoever, whatever you call it in New Hampshire, ladies, men, whoever they were confronting you, was on a, by a car on a road, and And one observation that I've made, and people can hate me for this if you want to, it's just an observation that I consider to be factual, is there is an inordinate percentage of LGBTQ whatever that are in these child protective agencies. And in my expert gaydar opinion, one of those ladies was LGBTQ whatever.
Yep.
And so what, for whatever, you can comment on that if you want, and for whatever
sure.
that's worth, that was an observation I had. So if you want to comment on it, do it now, and I have a horse question for you.
So that's Melissa Coombs. She's a social worker. She's a lesbian, married to a
Let me interrupt you.
She's adopted kids.
Sorry, Dave.
Let me interrupt you for a second. I'm acknowledging that I'm interrupting. So you and I have never discussed that before, right?
Right.
So my observation and my bold statement that I have an expert gaydar in this case turned out to be accurate. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like if you just internet search her name, is like, you know, her and her wife. Her wife works for some other state agency, Department of Corrections or something. Adopt a kid. Like for example, if you so the first thing that was. That particular video, I have gotten so much private correspondence on. Many, many people are like, her and her LGBTQ friends, or no, she wants to take your kids to give to her friends, and they said LGBTQ friends that don't have any children. That's why they're so hell-bent on going on pursuing you. When there is kids, when there is actual... So they totally ignore the kids that are, like, older, like, you know, 10, 12, you know, 8 years old because they're
too
already,
old.
Like, damaged. So they don't have high value in the adoption marketplace. In fact, you can get all the troubled teenage kids as a foster parent or adopt all the troubled teenage kids that you want. And there's basically, this is why the youth detention centers have all these teens in them, because nobody wants to adopt them. Nobody wants to deal with them. They're a pain in the butt. They're unruly. You know, they've been abused and traumatized. You know, they're all in this system. But when you have 6-month-old and 2-year-old kids that are healthy and don't have any trauma, they are extremely valuable. So this is why they tried so hard to get me to contract with them.
They're also, let me add something to that. There's also the psychological element, and I'm not an expert, but I believe this to be true, that they are at a young enough age where they will forget whatever bond that they had with their previous biological parents, and they will form a new bond with their new non-biological parents, and that can be fostered by the non-biological adoptive parents lying to them and telling them that they are their biological parents, and I know that this happens because it happened to me.
With your kids or with you? As a kid?
No, with my children. There were lies told to my children about you just one white male disappears and a new one shows up a month later. And what? No, that's your father. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's a kid, you know, and if you get them, they were young enough that is possible. They were both still in diapers, right? So it's possible to pull that off.
Yeah.
It's not 100% because one of them was approaching 3 years old, and my earliest memory is 18 months, and so it's possible that could happen, but not guaranteed.
Yeah, the brain goes, 95% of brain development happens before 6 years old. So the first 6 years in a child's life is when you have the ability to program them. So if you're leaving your child to like an internet device, or you're feeding them sugar or junk food or giving them soda, you know, you're not programming them, big tech's programming them, the food industry's programming them, making them addicts. We have, as parents, we have the ability, essentially 100% to control every input into our child's life. And if we this is why I need to educate people how not to screw their kids up, because a lot of people are unknowingly screwing their kids up by letting them use internet devices, feeding them junk food, buying candy for them.
Dizzy.
Yeah, my mom was looking up the other day. I'm not trying to be mean to my mom or anything.
Yeah, you are.
I don't think she knew, but she was looking up the other day what she could do to help my little brother get taller, and I was like, I've been telling you for like years to stop feeding them the stuff you feed them. Like, that's what the internet's going to tell you if you find like the truth anyway. Well, thank you for your call, David. I think we should get into the article that Jay brought in about teachers quitting en masse.
So, yes, David, sorry I didn't get to answer that horse question for you. Maybe you'll call back next week.
Yeah, too many things at once. Too many topics.
He had a good first question.
Yeah.
So this comes out of USAtoday.com, and it is, well, the headline of the article is, I just found myself struggling to keep up. Numbers of teachers quitting hits new highs. The data is in. More teachers than usual exited the classroom after last school year, confirming longstanding fears that pandemic-era stresses would prompt an outflow of educators.
It's kind of weird that there's a lot of industries that it almost seems like this was purposely done to, like nursing. Nikki, I was about to say my friend Nikki, but this, Nikki, our co-host that's on Wednesdays and Sundays, she is a nurse, and she said that so many people she knew were quitting during COVID because they were like, wow, I'm making about the same amount of money as people working at McDonald's right now, but like breaking my back and wiping old people's butts and stuff like that. So I'm quitting. They made it so unappealing. It almost seemed like on purpose, like a whole bunch of people quit working as nurses, and there's other industries that a whole bunch of people quit at once. And, well, they had the incentive that they could just sit on their couch and make $600 a week at one point. But,
which becomes very addictive.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of
people I know of that literally either lost their job or quit their job or something happened like in 2020, and they still have not gone back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know about four different guys that lost their job COVID related early 2020, and so they got like they were getting basically
unemployed.
Several hundred dollars more a week between like the federal thing and the state thing for the unemployment. Like one guy told me that he was bringing home like $8-$10 a week, and he was basically getting something like $11.55 a week after the unemployment and then the federal, you know, money. And he just, you know, and then one of them dropped off a couple hundred dollars worth, and now he's not collecting anything, and he's just, you know, working some side jobs because, you know, that's all done. But he's just, you know, they just get really comfortable.
Mm.
Anyways, getting back into this. In Washington State, more teachers left the classroom after last school year than any other point in the last three decades. Maryland and Louisiana saw more teachers depart at any other time in the last decade. And North Carolina saw a particularly alarming trend of more teachers leaving mid-school year. turnover increases were not massive, but actually, based on what I've read here about, you know, these turnovers, they have really high turnovers. So
does that mean like somebody quitting and a new person getting hired?
Yeah. So for example, many states have a lot of turnover rates of 12, 14, 18%, and they've in all these one states that they listed, their turnover rates have like increased in the past couple years, you know, a few percent. In fact,
it's always been that way though. Like a lot of people went to school to become a teacher, and they're looking for like that specific age group or grade to work at as a teacher, and they can't get it in their area. So when they see that a teacher retired or quit, it's like an opportunity, and people jump on these positions quick.
Well, so there's a lot of sort of stereotype, like, you know, being a teacher, it's an easy job. You know, you get the summers off, and you get all these weekends and these holidays and, you know, all kinds of stuff that you don't have to work. But, like, I'll get more into that in a minute. But anyways, with these turnover rates, Austin watched their turnover rate go from 17% to 24%. So what I understand a turnover rate means, if it's 24%, that means 24% of your staff is quitting.
Mm.
Which that is like very difficult to manage. So there's a lot of reasons for this. And some of these that I'm going to list off are not in this article, but they're in this article also. But a lot of the reasons is teachers are burnt out. So these teachers, you know, a lot of them go into this job sort of not prepared for what they're doing. I have a cousin who went to school, you know, basically as an art major to become, you know, an art teacher, and she only did that for 1 year. She's like, screw this. And she says, you know, basically you're making like $16 an hour, which doesn't even cover your rent. And a lot of time with the culture of the kind of people who are becoming teachers, you know, they're not, you know, getting with a, you know, they're a woman that's not getting with a man, or they're a man that's not, you know, they're independent people. They're sort of, you know, the kind of people that are, you know, going to be by themselves, trying to live in an apartment by themselves.
Wait, you're telling me that my teachers were miserable people?
Yeah, I'm just saying that now.
Why were they drinking behind the desk?
Like a lot of the old school teachers I know, for example, like a lot of the farmers I dealt with in upstate New York that I bought hay from, their wives were teachers. And why were their wives teachers? Well, you know, the pay wasn't awesome, but you got all these benefits and pension. That's what they were going after. That was like the big draw. So if your wife's a teacher and you're a farmer, now you get all this health care. You get these, you know, all kinds of benefits, annuities, pension fund, all this, that, and the other thing. You, if your wife dies, that's a school teacher, you inherit, a portions of these, you know, pensions and annuities. I don't know how all these financial instruments work, but there's like a lot of incentives there.
Turning wheels with the teachers.
And there's, so I've been listening to some like, YouTube type stuff while I'm working, and it just, and of, like these teachers are complaining about how the kids are out of control.
Yeah.
The kids are coming. Like the one guy's like a middle school teacher. He's like, I think I'm gonna quit. I gotta quit because, you know, I'm at this middle school, and he doesn't say what city, and he says he's teaching sixth grade, and the sixth graders are all getting high on vape devices.
Whoa.
They're all vaping, and basically he says he's in a good section of town, and that the kids are like, hey, man, I'm only coming here because my parents are going to go to jail if I don't. And they basically check in, and then they skip the rest of the day. There's just the kids are out of control. They're a-holes. So the teachers don't want to deal with them. And if you look at it,
that's a main reason why many teachers are quitting, is the kids are really bratty nowadays, like really bad, so entitled,
like what we're talking
LGBTQ
about,
LGBTQ to just the inner city slang going into just everywhere, not just the city. And I can imagine what teachers put up with, and I'm not saying they don't get paid what they deserve. They probably do, probably more so, but dang, they gotta deal with all these kids are just terrible nowadays in public schools. Taking kids out of public
schools. I've heard about that a lot. Like, I don't know for sure, but
yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah. These teachers quitting is actually really good news, and hopefully, because they're probably good teachers, just like all the cops that quit working for police departments that mandated vaccines, just like all the nurses that quit working or got fired because their places were mandating them to get vaxxed or mandating them to wear these masks and do all this, you know, nonsense. And then what you got left is all the woke zombies. So
wait, you said cops quitting?
Yeah, so a whole bunch of cops in Massachusetts, state troopers quit. A whole bunch
this
of
year?
A couple years ago because they were all forced to vaccinate.
Oh, yeah.
For example.
Well, I was going to bring up this, is that recently in New York, hold on a second. The Daily Wire put an article out about more than 2,500 New York cops have quit
New
this
York
year.
State or New York City?
The city.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, 2,500.
But what I think is crazy, what they talk about here, I'm not going to go over the whole article, but it's 43% higher than 2018. But it's also, when we get to here.
The thing is like so many people like don't want to be working in government because you get no respect when you work in the parasite class.
And that's
a huge problem.
I think it's good because that's what I was just talking about with Nikki and Lori yesterday. We were saying, I think it's not really, but kind of activism. Before I was ever an activist, before I ever lived in New Hampshire, I just would make a point to never be kind to cops. Like, I want them to know I don't appreciate what they're doing. Like, they come up to you and make a joke, and you're like, why are you talking to me? Like, it's not illegal to do that. And you tell them, I don't like you. I don't appreciate what you're doing.
What's super interesting, though, about this, though, is that a lot of them are quitting before they even get their pension. So they're talking about 2,500 cops quitting. And, yeah, okay, so they're within the 20-year range, and then a lot of them have quit. So, like, about 1,500 of these, they're saying, quit and got their pensions. So they've put 20 years in. But over 1,000... Over 1,000, 1,040 officers quit before their pension.
Which is
before they're eligible to get their pension. Yeah, which is kind of walking away from a lot of money. Like,
yeah,
if you're only a few years away.
But then, like, you think about, like, the 1,500 cops that walked away with their pension, or, like, they still retired a little early, right? That everyone has to pay for their pensions now.
So you bring up the pension. So, there's a whole bunch of reasons why, you know, teachers, you know, are quitting because they can get paid better, they can get respected. So a lot of these teachers are going into this and they're realizing that the public school system is literally just government subsidized daycare for children of lazy parents.
Yes, yeah.
It's really the bottom
line.
And it's
not like the kids or their parents actually like really want to learn, and you're like saving their lives. Like some teachers may go into it thinking.
So the public school has to accept all of the problematic children because the lazy or the addicted parents.
Well, no, they don't have to. They can kick them out.
No, well, they have to because they need them in there so they can get the funding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely there was some issues when, you know, I forget who it was. Somebody I was talking to said that he would skip school all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal's like, listen, just I need you here in the morning and then just leave.
Wow.
But just come in because we're not going to, we need the numbers,
mm-hmm.
You know, so we can get paid. We need the money.
It must have changed since then, or maybe it was just different in my school district in Texas because they were mad that I was like skipping in the middle of the day, just like going to the bathroom with my friends and hiding out, which is so stupid. Well, it's not really stupid. Like, I didn't want to be in these stupid classes either, but it's just, like, not that that's much more fun. But when you're in high school, it's like, we got this hookah pen and we're going to go to the bathrooms and smoke it instead of, you know, sit there and learn math or whatever. But they were really serious about me skipping class, that's what he said, and I didn't know what he was talking about. And he was seriously yelling at me in his office. He wasn't even saying skipping class.
Yeah,
it was just saying skipping. I was like, what is that?
Skipping.
Doing some kind of a drug? Like, I did not know what he was saying.
So if you're like, you know, one of these, you know, somebody who's got all this college, you know, accreditation, which I think is absolutely worthless, you know, especially when the accreditation comes from colleges that are sponsored and endowed by a whole bunch of Jeffrey Epstein's client list. You just walk around these colleges and just look at these plaques and, you know, see who's donating and start looking up about who these people are.
Wow.
So another video I listened to, this teacher was like, she's like, I make $16 an hour as a teacher. Like, just, you know, video was released like a week ago.
Make 18 at McDonald's.
And she's, that's exactly that. She was like, I make more money, you know, I got to work a job on the weekends, and she's like, I shouldn't have to do this. She's like, between my student loan payment, she's like, my teacher job just pays for my rent.
Yeah.
She says, that's it. But also, she, you know, she's like one of these like liberal type women that, you know, probably doesn't have a significant other. So it's like, that's a lot of living expense when you're an adult just living by yourself in an apartment versus having a significant other. I don't care who you're married to. That's your decision. But whether you're, you know, or a boyfriend or just at least a partner to help even split those bills really helps a lot. So you have a lot of these so-called single independent people. And, you know, quite frankly, like, you know, the women really aren't designed to be independent. They need a man. They need help. You know, we're not designed to be alone, and men aren't designed to be, you know, independent either. They are designed to have a woman in their life. There's like a lot of proper balance that comes from basically, you know, being traditional type, you know, family, being married, having trust in someone else, security in someone else. It gives you a lot of confidence. It does a lot of things.
I saw a picture of Ian just from like 10 years ago. It's not like it's just that he was young, like he was in his 30s, he was full grown, and he looked so much skinnier than he is now. I was like comparing pictures of him, and I think it's just that he was like basically starving before I met him of actual nutrients. He was just eating microwave food, so like he might have eaten a lot of stuff like in weight, but he wasn't actually getting anything nutritious into
That's
his
right.
body, so he was like
you
dying.
Can eat McDonald's all day,
yeah,
you're
and
gonna
not get like any nutrients,
you're
like,
gonna be healthier with somebody.
Who cares about you?
Then alone is really the bottom line. So anyways, these teachers aren't, you know, so in today's economy, like, you know, you need to make a lot of money to basically live in any of these cities or to live in any of these apartments. And, you know, everything is so expensive. Thank you to fractional reserve banking. Thank you to all of the taxation and regulation.
Like this lady who want the government to just give her money because she doesn't make enough
right.
money
Welfare.
With the job
right.
she chose.
But if all the nuances of government weren't there in her life, she could afford it on her own.
Right, and she doesn't
get
that.
That's what we're getting at, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just, you know, just think if all the money we we could save by not giving welfare checks to all the people who are abusing fentanyl and heroin on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every one of them's on some form of welfare.
And honestly, those are the... I like to think that if there was a system, a collapse of the system, that the last thing that would be cut would be these social systems, right? So let welfare and food stamps, no such thing, let that be the last thing. I want to get the government out of, like, the bigger things, like income tax. Get them out of the bigger things that are, you know, funding all the smaller things, and then you probably won't have to worry about the smaller things.
The taxes aren't even funding it. They're just, you know, borrowing money into oblivion, printing money out of thin air. You guys know who Robert Kiyosaki is? He's the author of...
He said Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad,
Read it, but I've heard of it.
So anyways, he's got some really great stuff out there about financial things, and he talks a lot about it. And so he was saying, one of his podcasts was talking about how the average firefighter in, like, an American city has a pension that is, like, $1.2 million. They're going to retire with $1.2 million pension, like, now, the average firefighters. Now, this is why drive by a fire department, they're all driving, like, Camaros, you know, Mustangs, you know, in the summertime, and then on rainy days and in the wintertime, they got their diesel F3, they got $100,000 pickup trucks and $50,000 cars.
These are firefighters that work in the cities mostly, where it's not volunteer.
Right, full-time fire departments. Well, here's the thing. He talks about basically the pensions on these governments. They're like, they're not funded at all. And I believe this number, I could be wrong, but I think he said that basically, like, just on, like, the unfunded liabilities of, like, the federal pension system for all the federal government, it's like something like $372 trillion. Now, that might be all of the municipal pensions.
That's still crazy. Like, I heard that you could set down a dollar bill every second and never in your lifetime set down $1 trillion. Maybe that...
Not even a billion, I don't think, right?
Yeah, so... That just puts it in perspective for you. I feel like that's kind of obvious. Like, I don't think you live for a trillion seconds in your life. But it's just, if you think about it like that, 72 trillion,
it was the number he said.
That is...
It's an incalculable number.
Insane.
So the pensions are all, you know, they're all basically garbage. They're not even offering pensions in a lot of places for teachers now. So, but it's not sustainable to be a teacher. I mean, literally the idea that you were a teacher is because, you know, you had a husband with a job that made most of the money. And, you know, and it was also an economy where, like, you know, in 1970, the average American guy could basically pay for his house and his taxes and a whole bunch of things for 1 week.
Family.
And then another week's pay paid for all the other expenses. And then you save the you know, 25% of your pay.
Well, it's been Free Talk Live. Thank you for listening. You can go find more at freetalklive.com. And it's been a good show. Peace.
Good night.
Good night.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Mm-hmm.